This is Venice Ferguson, news director at Saskatoon Media Group. I had a chance to talk to Erin Bowers, born and raised in Saskatoon. Erin Bowers is the daughter of Kelly Bowers, a legend in sports in Saskatchewan and Saskatoon, and she's about to commence the ultimate swimming challenge. Embarking on an achievement of a lifetime, flies out today, being Friday, June 27th, for Dover, England. She's going to swim the English Channel. I'm going to presume you swam a lot in your earlier life as a young person. Like, did you swim competitively?
I did. I swam with the Saskatoon YMCA Lasers when I was a kid, from when I was about 8 years old till when I was about 13. And then I took a kind of big break from swimming and came back to it when my daughter was in the swim club in Toronto back in the sort of early 2000s. So yeah, I have a bit of a swimming history. I swim masters, and then I'm quite involved in the open water swim community in BC. So I'm involved with the Across the Lake Swim, that group of swims that happens every summer. And then I swim with the Okanagan Master Swim Club. And then I'm also in a group of in the West Kootenays there. So yeah, I am involved in swimming. I don't coach. I did volunteer with Special Olympics a couple of years ago, and hope to get kind of back into that once this sort of big swim is done. But yeah, so I'm sort of involved in swimming, but it's definitely not like my main job. Although it feels like it is sometimes.
So, okay, if you've done lakes, what would be the longest swim you've ever done?
Yeah, so my longest swim to date was Lake Zurich, and I did that in 2022, and that was 28 kilometers.
So how does the English Channel compare?
So the English Channel, well, it's in the English Channel, so it's a saltwater swim. It will be about 35, 36 kilometers. It really depends on the tides. The day that you swim, you can end up swimming a lot longer than that, potentially, depending on just how the water goes. So it's a bit of a longer swim. You do get the benefit of buoyancy being in the salt water, but yeah, it's a swim that has a lot of challenges. It's the largest shipping lane in the world, so there's that to kind of contend with. But my captain of my boat is sort of responsible for making sure I'm not, running into any big barges or anything like that. But yeah, it's sort of an iconic swim. It's one of the toughest swims in the world. Although lake swimming itself is, it's not really a piece of cake either. So just different challenges in the different types of water.
You've already got to deal with the tide. You don't want to have to deal with the wake from larger vessels.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where the boat comes in really handy. So I'll swim alongside a boat for the whole time. And I've, booked that boat many years in advance. They're responsible for sort of making sure I'm safe.
Like my cousins, they lived in Vancouver on a boat for almost 30 years. And I used to go down there every year, and we would take the boat out and, we'd anchor off Gibson's Island and Bowen Island, all those different places. Mm-hmm. Right. And I never thought anything of it when I was a kid. I'd jump off the boat and go swimming, and we'd be anchored. It'd be 60 feet, no big deal. But I'm older now, and I really think about what's in the water.
I do think about what's in the water. I did a swim actually a year ago today in Coronado, and that was sort of the first swim I'd done out in the open ocean. And I definitely thought about it, and I thought about what bathing suit to wear so that I wouldn't be as attractive to anything that's kind of swimming below me that might want to eat me. But in the English Channel, it's more common to, I'm going to have to deal with jellyfish. That's just the way it goes, that they're there and I have to swim through them and they sting. But there aren't really any sort of large predators commonly spotted in the English Channel. It's not really where they are. I mean, I'm sure they're there, but there hasn't been any encounters with swimmers. So, but people do sometimes see porpoises and sometimes seals, birds, et cetera, like that kind of stuff. But yeah, that part of it doesn't really faze me so much. I'm more sort of just focused on being in the water and kind of being kind of part of all of that. if that makes sense.
Yeah. How long have you trained then for specifically for this event? I mean, as you say, it sounds like you made this decision several years ago.
Yeah. So I tried to get a spot with a pilot back in 2020, and I was supposed to swim in September of last year and went to England, and the weather got the better of us and then didn't get a chance to swim at all. So when I had a chance to swim again this year, I sort of jumped on it. So I just picked up my training from where I had left off. And that means I'm in the pool probably 4 or 5 days a week. Then I'm in the lake or wherever I can swim, doing longer swims on the weekend as soon as the water is warm enough.
Is that a factor, is how cold the water is? Like, what are you wearing for swim gear?
Yeah,
you're not wearing a wetsuit?
You're not allowed to wear, nope, you can't wear anything according to the channel swimming rules. You can only wear your bathing suit and a swim cap and goggles. You can't wear a sport watch or a tow float or anything like that. So it's pretty much just the way it was swum 100 years ago. Is how you're supposed to swim it. And that's just the rule. So I start getting in the open water when it's about 11 degrees, between 10 and 11 degrees is when I first sort of get into the lake. And usually that's about like end of March, beginning of April. And then kind of as it warms up, I swim longer and longer swims. But I expect the temperature for this swim to be around 15, 16 degrees. So actually the Okanagan Lake, where I've been doing most of my training this year, it warmed up a little bit faster. So it was like 19 and 18, and it was feeling really warm to me. So the last few weekends I've ventured into the interior of BC to find some colder lakes. So I was actually able to do my peak week of training last week in Slocan Lake, where it was 15 and 16 degrees. So that was just perfect.
Now, I know you're there. This is self-funded. You're raising money, but it's a self-funded measure.
Yeah, I'm raising money for Jumpstart. Yep. So it's all self-funded, but a lot of swimmers sort of align themselves with a charity. And so I aligned myself with Canadian Tire Jumpstart Children's Charities because I really liked that donations that people make go directly into giving grants to kids so that kids can pursue activities that they love in their communities. I know that getting a Jumpstart grant is really easy for kids and easy for families. So I wanted to choose a charity where, you know, you're asking people to donate money. So having something where that impact can be felt without very many barriers was important to me. And Jumpstart's helped over 4 million kids in Canada to, you know, sign up for swimming lessons or join a swim club or play hockey or play football or, you know, any of those things. So I wanted to choose a charity that was, you know, doing that kind of thing. So Jumpstart was a really natural choice for me.
Do you have to get used to the water in some way when you get to England? Like what?
So I arrive Saturday morning. And then when I get there, I'll probably do a few short swims just to maintain my training. I'm kind of in a taper phase of training right now, so I'm not doing any long swims. I'm getting in for about an hour just to stretch things out and just to, you know, sort of stay limber. So when I get there, I'll do a few swims. And there's always that first period of adjustment in the salt water to get used to that. And, you know, just making sure that my body feels good. I've just come back from my last physio appointment before the swim. So there's that whole body piece to think of. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back in the salt water again.
Is it is it a case of you wait for the jet lag to pass and then you sort of kind of keep an eye on the weather, and or are you allocated a day?
Well, you're sort of allocated a day. So I know that the tide window that I'll swim on could be between June the 30th and July the 10th. And so my pilot, the boat pilot, totally makes the decision. So, you know, I could swim as early as 3 a.m. on June the 30th, or I could be waiting until the very end of my window, which is like July the 10th. So it really just depends. And you'll get, you know, 8 hours of notice from the pilot, and they'll say you have to meet us down at the harbor and or the marina in Dover a couple hours ahead of time. And you go there and you get on the boat and you get your people all organized. And then they take you out to where you'll start the swim. And then you have to jump out of the boat and swim into shore. And then there's an official start. So they kind of blow like an air horn. And then that that marks the official beginning of the swim. And then on the boat, I have my coach and I have two other people who will be supporting me by preparing my feeds and sharing messages from people who send messages, and yeah, just watching me and making sure that I'm safe and watching my stroke count and all of those things.
Do you have an idea of the number of hours it's going to take?
I figure it should take me somewhere between 12 and 16 hours, give or take. It just depends on the tides and depends on how it goes on the day. Yeah, it really depends on the weather and the conditions.
Do you have to stop down? Like, do you stop down for a bit and rest in the water?
No, you have to keep your feeds. So I feed usually every half an hour, and you have to keep the feeds for 20 seconds or less. So they throw me a bottle. I'm not allowed to touch the boat. They throw me a bottle. My feed is liquid, so I drink it down, throw the bottle back, and then that's keep swimming. So the whole point is to you know, not stop, because the tides, you know, when you stop, you're going to be pushed back. So you want to keep moving forward. So got to keep the feeds as quick as possible and not stop and chat or, you know, get distracted. So those have to be as fast as possible. So it's, you know, you're trying to pretty much keep swimming the whole time.
Yeah, that's something. So it, now this is like an official thing. Does your name get entered somewhere, or is there there's an edifice with the name of swimmers who've done it, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's a couple different organizations. So I'm with the Channel Swimmers and Pilots Federation, and I'll have an official observer on my boat, and then my name will go into the record as one of the people who've completed the swim, hopefully. And yeah, these organizations have people who ratify the swim. So that's the point of the observer on the boat, to make sure that I don't touch the boat, that none of the support people touch me, that everything is within the rules, that, you know, that I'm wearing the correct clothing, or, you know, what's allowed to be worn for the swim, and just making sure that all the rules are, that everybody's obeying the rules. So there's that piece, and that those organizations manage the registration. So I pay a registration fee earlier in the year for all of that. And then because it's the 150th anniversary of the first person to swim the channel this year, it's kind of special in some ways. So, you know, there could be some memorabilia that they produce that I might get as well.
Oh, that's so cool. So cool, Erin. Yeah. Are you going to keep it updated on Facebook so people know when you're about to embark and how you're doing along the way?
Yeah, I'll keep it on. I'll post it on Facebook. I have a WhatsApp group of a bunch of people who will be kind of following along. And then the Channel Swimmers and Pilots Federation has a Facebook page where they have a tracker. And so people can follow the tracker and... You know, it's not really like watching it in real time. It's more like, here's a little dot, and then you go to bed, and then maybe when you wake up, I'll have moved amount of time between two places on the tracker. So there's a few different places. And I have a blog, it's openwaterlife.com, so I post updates there, probably not till after the swim. And I'll also be posting on Instagram, too. So there's a few different places to follow along.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. That was Erin Bowers, flying to Dover, England, arriving this weekend, just prior to Canada Day, to get ready for her swim across the English Channel. We wish her all the best of luck. I'm Venice Ferguson, CJWW News.